Well, good morning. 8:10. 8:10. July the 25th, 2024. Here on the Front Range, east of the Rocky Mountains in Greeley, Colorado. And I said I wasn't going to walk. If it got this late. I remember why I said that now. Just having completed the long westward stretch with the sun just beating down. Holy crap. It's a clear sky except for the smoke. And what I was calling haze the last couple of days turns out actually was actually been smoke from wildfires. Something new and exciting and not terribly new and not all that exciting, to be honest. Had some good tunes this morning. I hate the tunes that are really bouncy and really move me along, and but their pace is just two paces to every three beats. And it just, it's like I'm constantly tripping on my feet because I can't walk to the pace of the song. It's too fast for my old man gait. And it's too slow to walk to every other beat because I never get home. But in the middle, I had play that funky music, white boy, and that was just perfect. And I was moving to the grooving. I envision the people in the cars going by saying, "What the hell is that guy on?" Hey. Play that funky music. It was good. But yeah, I'm a bit winded. Just a little. My legs are saying, "What the hell was that?" But then it was Paul Simon and Bodyguard, and that was fun. I can call you Eddie. All right, Eddie. So, Skylar Ramirez, bless his pea-picking heart. Three things I really don't like. I've talked about the two that he's off already. Novellas. First person, present tense. And the third one is cliffhangers. What does he do at the end of book three? Jesus. What was it, book two? I don't know. I lost track. I'm ripping through them pretty quickly, so I'm not sure what number I'm on at the moment. And yes, I followed the cliff. I went over the cliff. I knew it was a cliffhanger. I knew it was pointless. I knew it was silly. I knew it was dumb. From a technical standpoint, it's just pointless. Either you trust your writing or you don't. Clearly he doesn't. I'd have bought the book anyway. I'd have bought the book without it, without a second thought. Putting a cliffhanger in made me think twice. Is this something I want to do? Is this something I want to encourage by actually going over the cliff and buying the next book? And the answer is no, it's not something I want to support. But I want to know what happens in the book. I want to see where he takes the book next. If he puts a cliff at the end of this one, I don't know what I'm going to do. I may just say, fuck it. I hate cliffhangers that much. And the reason is cliffhangers are completely, absolutely unnecessary. And they're really popular in YA. They're really big in YA because publishers, the old trad shibboleth, pretty much requires YA novels to have cliffs at the end because they don't trust kids or their parents. They don't trust kids to pester their parents to buy them the next book unless there's a cliffhanger. Which is... All right. I can't fault the logic. It doesn't mean I like it, but I can't fault the logic. They have to make it so compelling that the kids will pester their parents to get the next book. Those who haven't figured out a way to buy their own books yet. But in adult fiction, if you're writing a series and you're not confident enough about your story, about your characters, about your universe, if you're not confident enough to trust the reader to follow along, having read one or two or three or five of your works already, if you don't trust the readers that much, why should they trust you? Why should they trust your book? Why should they trust your writing? It's just one of those, it's a personal thing. It's one of those things like, I don't support trad publishing, which means authors who are traditionally published don't get any love from me. It's not that they're not good writers. It's not that their writing is somehow bad or that they're somehow less than. They're fine. The problem is they're doing business with companies that I can't support. And for the same reason, every once in a while I get somebody who says, oh, I'm not going to buy your books because they're only on Amazon. Yeah, okay. I don't blame you. Amazon is a problematic organization. They have some serious problems. So stipulated. If ethically you cannot support Amazon, which means you cannot buy my books, I'm fine with you making that decision. The problem, of course, is that I can't afford not to. I know there are a lot of people who say, oh, well, you know, I'm wide. I'm doing twice as much wide as I'm doing in person. Well, good. I'm happy for you. Twice as much wide as I'm doing on Amazon. Which is wonderful. I'm really happy for those people. The problem is one of scale. 2 times 10 is 20, which is not a big number. 2 times 100 is 200, which is not a big number. I sell a lot of books. In order to sell more wide than I do on Amazon, I'd need to sell thousands of books wide. Literally, thousands of books wide. Every month. Not just on release, every month. And that just is not going to happen without KU. It's wonderful. I'm glad that people are finding success by going wide. But the economies of scale that I have to deal with, I mean, it's a big ask for me to give up thousands of sales a month for the 5 or 6 sales a month I would get being wide. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen until and unless the Amazon, the Kindle unlimited contribution to revenue falls below purchase. And it keeps growing. It's not shrinking, it keeps growing. That was why I went all in to begin with. Because the non-Amazon contributions to revenue were shrinking very fast compared to the number of books I had working in the marketplace. Good morning. So it was an experiment. I went all in. It took months. Oh my God. It took so long to get the books that were wide taken down so I could publish them in Amazon. I think I mentioned it before. I had to get a French language takedown notice and send it to a little bookstore in France in order to get them to take down the book, the one book they had on their website, so that I could be in KU. Oh, say it with me. Monk post. I'm on a rant this morning, apparently. I don't like the heat. I'm trying to distract myself from the heat. I was at least smart enough not to wear the hoodie on top of the polo shirt today. I'm doing without the extra pockets. I hope the recording is going well. I don't dare take it out and look at it. I've got it tucked in my hip pocket. And I'm going to cross the street right now to get on the shady side. Try to avoid the harmful solar radiation as much as possible. But I'm serious about only reading self-published books. I've had a lot of recommendations for books. I got one yesterday from PC Harry. And he sent me to this website. And I'm looking it over and I'm thinking, oh, okay. And then I look at the recommended starting volume, which is apparently in the middle of this monster of a universe. And I do what I usually do, is I check the imprint. If there's no imprint listed on the publisher tag on the Amazon webpage, I will look at the sample of the book and see if there's one listed actually in the front matter of the book. And I will look that up. And if what I get back is a list of titles featuring other authors, particularly if it's more than one or two, I'm going to consider that a publisher. Yes, okay, fine, you're an indie publisher, which means the author is an indie author because you're a small press. You're still a press. I do not support authors who publish. I do not support presses. If your book is with a press, if you are not uploading the files yourself and collecting your own revenues, you are working with a publisher, and I do not support publishers. Flat. Done. I don't care if it's Random House. I don't care if it's Dragon Moon. What's the other one? Junkyard. Atheon is eating up so many authors, and it just drives me crazy. If you can't sell your book, what makes you think Atheon can? I'm on a tear this morning. I don't know what the hell's gotten into my shorts. Look at the daisies. Oh, that's beautiful. There's a whole great stand of daisies here. Tucked away in a shady corner. Really nice. I said I wasn't going to come for the walk this morning if I couldn't get out before the ambient temperature got above 67. The problem, of course, is that I slept in this morning until 5:30, which meant that I really needed to get my morning routine knocked out, including breakfast, before 6:30. And I'm afraid for the rest of the summer, I'm going to have to do something about my daily routine. And I think the something is I need to move breakfast to first. I need to do breakfast first, and then do the walk, and then I can go home and do the daily thought. See, the problem is I have to do the journal first. The journal has to happen. Nothing says the journal can't happen over breakfast, but the morning, for lack of a better term, the morning pages, which I'm not actually treating it as morning pages, I'm just sort of treating it as a grounding exercise. It's like, how do I feel today? And I never go back and look at them, which is kind of a problem, because I probably should go back and look and say, well, how did I feel on this date last year? I should probably take advantage of the fact that I've got some history that I can look at to track how I've changed, how I've grown, how I've advanced. And I'm not taking advantage of that history, which is probably not the wise choice. I could do better. I also have to try to figure out where all of my bandwidth is going. I'm beginning to think that perhaps one of the machines in the house has been infected and is burning up bandwidth. I think I'm going to be okay this month. I think I'm going to be okay for July. On average this month, I've burned about 40.2 gigabytes a day. And counting today, I've got 7 days left in the month. I should log on and see what yesterday's bandwidth usage was. It's usually about a day behind. And I don't get a daily breakdown. I get a monthly total as part of my billing. And I went from 933 to 957. So 24 gigs the day before, which is fine. 20 gigs for 7 days is well within my cap. But it was really, when I look back over historical records, the data usage went up by 20 gigabytes a month. No, 200 gigabytes a month. Went from 700 to 900 between May and June. Now, I upgraded my router, my Wi-Fi network, last October. So that's not it. Both the Wi-Fi networks, I have two. I have a high-speed and low-speed network. Run through the same router. And since... Oh, I wonder if that is it. I upgraded the kids' computers in May. I bet that's it. I bet that's it. And I put them, I put us all of the new computers are all in the high-speed network. They're all in the gigabit network. I bet that's it. Before that, everybody was on a low speed. It was, I think it was 300. I think it was 300 bits per second, as opposed to the gigabit network I've got now. And in May, that's gotta be it. I made the machines faster so they'd suck down more bits. I wonder what I can do about that. I wonder if I can throttle it. Knock it down from a gigabit to 600 megabits. Maybe. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Hey, at the back gate. Can I sneak through the sprinklers? I can. I can sneak through the sprinklers. But right now I'm going to point out that tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.